Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke hold. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slappin' Mead Wrestling Podcast. And we're doing some final Royal Rumble thoughts. We got some other topics to talk about as well. And we got a special treat for everyone here that you're going to have to stay to the end of the show to see what that treat is. But let's start with let's start with some of the news stories. So the first news story, and really the only news story, then we'll talk about NXT and something about Raw real quick, and then we'll get to our final thoughts on the Rumble, and then we'll end with the react to that segment. That I'm actually pretty excited to talk about. So let's talk about Triple H is headlining the 2025 Hall of Fame class, and it's actually pretty hilarious that this comes out this week, because I was in planning this episode on Tuesday. I'll be honest, you know, I've said in the past that I typically plan on like Sundays is when I try to pull together some shows stuff, right? I got lazy on Sunday and just didn't do it. So I was sort of frantically trying to put together a show for Tuesday's show and this show, like late Monday night, Tuesday, right? Trying to just finish up some loose ends on making those shows, right? So I was sitting there thinking, like, what is we're at Rumble and we haven't even addressed one or, you know, typically by this point, you know, it's February tomorrow. And we've typically would have the Hall of Fame class at least alluded to the Hall of Fame, maybe one or two members. And so I was thinking, this is interesting. We haven't heard anything about it yet. I wonder when they're going to start making these announcements. And then we get one this week with the headliner being Triple H. And I've seen a lot of the reaction online being like, Triple H put himself in. Guys, I don't think Triple H actually makes that decision. I definitely believe that this is a decision from Nick Khan as to who's going into the Royal Rumble. Higher ups than the guy who does the booking, right? What tend to happen is that Vince used to do the booking and all the higher up because he was the owner, right? And he did everything, right? But, you know, there's now, you know, Triple H is head of creative. Nick Khan is the CEO. And I do believe this is a Nick Khan decision and a very good one at that. And so, Wavy D, when you tune into this, because I know you will, our Let's Get Cooking next Tuesday is going to be finish the rest of the class. Who gets in, right? And that's going to be our, you know, Hall of Fame for 2025. That's going to be our Let's Get Cooking for next week. I've already got some interesting ideas on what I think we could get. And so I can't wait to see what Wavy D is going to come up with, right? But I just want to, you know, Triple H more than deserves. He's in as DX, but he more than deserves to be in as a singles wrestler. And he's going to be a three-time, but I'm assuming they're waiting for Orton to retire for Evolution to go in. But they've got a lot to do in that sphere. Orton's going to go in with Evolution. He's going to go in by himself. Batista's still got to go in by himself. He's going to go in as Evolution. And Ric Flair, that is going to go in another time as Evolution. And they need to, you know, speed this along so that we can get Evolution in there before Rick passes away. And so I'm not going to give away any of my picks so Wavy D can I'm not, we'll talk about that on Tuesday on who I think the rest of this card is going to be for or class for Hall of Fame. And by the way, Wavy, we're not doing those, like they do those like legacy picks for like people from like the 50s and the 40s. We're not doing that. Just, you know, we got Triple H who rounds out the class. You know, we're probably going to get a female. We'll probably get some sort of tag team. I don't know if we'll do a celebrity, but I'm going to put a celebrity pick because there's one with Triple H going in that I 100% believe needs to go in now. And we'll discuss that on Tuesday. So let's talk some NXT real quick. NXT episode this week was very standard. It was NXT. It was good. Nothing super special other than, you know, Bianca and Naomi and the Meta Girls put on a fantastic main event. You know, we had a very, very good match with Shotzi and Fallon. They're leading to some of the things. So I did an episode within the last month, like predicting Vengeance Day. I don't remember the exact day I did it, but I predicted the Vengeance Day card, right? And we added three matches yesterday. And let me just say something. And now when I predicted, I predicted Obafemi's match, and I said, well, they're doing this on live TV now, so I don't think this will be in the match, right? Just remember I did say that. But Obafemi, I did not at all envision Grayson Waller and Austin Theory versus Obafemi, a triple threat match at Vengeance Day. But I'm excited for it because I'm gonna be in the build. I'm excited for whatever we get. So right, so I'm really paying attention to how they're building this card because I'm driving all the way up to DC, right? And I'm spending a weekend in a city that I really, I'm be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of DC. If you've ever been to DC, maybe it's just me. You know, I grew up in the area before I moved down to North Carolina, right? So I spent a lot of time, a little bit of time in the summers growing up in DC. You know, if you're in DC, go to the zoo. It's free. Your tax dollars pay for it. So make sure anytime you're in DC, take a trip to the zoo. But I've been there, and I've been there a couple other times, you know, as an adult, and every time I feel there, it just feels dirty and demonic, and it's just a feeling I get when I'm in that city. I'm not a big fan of the city, but it's Vengeance Day, and it's an NXT PLE, and it's probably the closest they'll get to Charlotte this year, so we're going to go take the trek up there, and so I'm watching these matches, right? So this match got me excited, right? Fallon wins. She's up on the stage. Stephanie comes out. I 100% predicted this correct. We're getting Stephanie versus Fallon. Very good match, right? Julia's defense at Vengeance Day. I assumed it was going to be... I don't even remember what I predicted for Julia in this match. But I didn't expect another triple threat with Bayley and Roxanne Perez. I was not expecting that at all, but I'm not going to complain. I get to see Bayley at an NXT show. Okay, fine with me. And so I'm assuming we'll get two more matches rounded out next week in the go home show in 2 weeks. I'm assuming I'm going to be correct and we get Javon versus Ethan Page. The fifth match, I have no idea, and so that's sort of what I'm looking into. You know, being interested, but as of right now, it's these three matches stand. I'm excited for this Vengeance Day card. Super, super excited for it. And so yeah, NXT's doing their thing. They had like another 820,000 viewership and that's big numbers, right? But we're gonna transition to Raw viewership. That's the next big topic because this really started, I had not in Discord, but in one of my other group chats that I'm in. I'm the only WWE fan in this group chat, right? Everyone else is like AEW only, right? And they'll make like they're gonna watch Rumble this weekend, but like they don't pay attention to the to WWE, and they are more preferred AEW fans, right? And when I say like I'm the only person in my actual friend circle who watches wrestling that between AEW and WWE would choose WWE, I'm literally the only person, right? So that's why a community like the casual wrestling community was big for me to get into, because I don't have a lot of people who think the same way that I do about wrestling in my immediate circle that I could sort of talk to and they can understand, right? But they brought up something. Oh, I saw the Raw viewership numbers are going down again. Or continuing to go down. And guys, I need to reemphasize something that I said. It was either the last episode of 2024 or the first episode of 2025 when I said, what we're going to do here is we're going to leave the viewership conversations in 2024. But when this conversation gets brought up, I have to address this, right? So the first thing I have to address, which is I really don't care about Raw viewership, because Raw is the best show right now in wrestling. I know I used to give that to NXT, and NXT is still cooking, but Raw is just a different monster. And really, so the way I'm going to say this now is it's like a 1A, 1B. Like, Raw's the best show in wrestling. NXT's the best show on cable television, right? Or on broadcast television, not on streaming, right? But with Raw, I really don't care about their viewership, because I've already explained to a lot to this person in particular, but to the audience as well, that the viewership was going to drop, right? And so there are some actual reasons, not excuses. I'm not making excuses. I tend to find reasons as to why something is happening that can explain what is happening, right? And it's not an excuse, right? But I said this. This is like running a business. When you open, especially like my background, like I said, is in a restaurant. So when you open a restaurant, week one will be your busiest week. And there's sort of predictors that you can make based on your first week. If your first week you do 100,000 in sales in week one, more than likely an average week for you is going to be around $40,000 to $50,000 a week. Which is still a good week in the restaurant business, by the way, depending on what you're selling and how much you're selling it for, right? Depends on the margins and your 40 to 50,000 a week. It's still a pretty decent week, right? And so there are legitimate reasons as to why Raw's viewership. So the first one is, like I explained, the debut episode was a PLE. And so you brought in not only the wrestling fans who watch normally, who would watch, you know, the 2 to 3 million people that would watch a Raw regularly or watch wrestling regularly. Now you bring in the people who want to see Cena and the people on Netflix who see The Rock, and you have like a big banger show, right? Well, when those people who aren't typical wrestling fans tune in the next week and they don't see The Rock and they don't see John Cena and they don't see Roman Reigns and they're what they do see is, you know, not necessarily name brand people, they're probably going to tune out. And I said this from the get-go, because a lot of people were making such a big deal about them going to Netflix and how they're going to expand the fan base. And my opinion from the jump has always been, I don't think this adds to the fan base. I think the same group of people who would typically watch on USA are going to just have, most of them probably already have Netflix, so it's not even adding to Netflix revenue stream. That Netflix really doesn't get anything out of this from a monetary perspective. Most people already had Netflix by the time the deal was made. That Netflix can just say, we're testing live week-to-week broadcasting and to get into other sports markets. So this goes well for them. Now we can, make a play and to say, hey, the football worked well. We want some games. So when contract negotiations begin for NFL and, you know, they could say, Netflix wants the deal. CBS, Fox, what are you going to offer? Netflix is offering this. What are you going to offer? Right. So I think that's what Netflix gets out of this. It's not necessarily strictly monetary right now. It's more so down the long-term play so that they can maybe get the NBA contract when it comes back up, or get the MLB contract when their contract with Apple TV expires, or get some bigger sports league to find interest in. They've really done good on this live presentation. We want in on it, right? And so that's what I think Netflix gets out of it, and WWE gets to be put on one of the biggest streaming platforms in the world. But as far as viewership, let's just be honest. The American wrestling audience is only about 2.5 to 3 million people. That's all you should expect to see watch your show on a week-to-week basis. But I don't expect, I mean, you might pull in some random people who aren't your typical wrestling fans on a week-to-week basis. But for the most part, you should expect around 2.5 to 3 million views as sort of the standard of where you should expect it to be. And so those are the two legitimate reasons that I tend to believe that Netflix isn't concerned, WWE isn't concerned, and this really doesn't matter. It's a non-conversation. That this should have been expected, and that I don't necessarily think Netflix cares about the viewership. Again, because they're playing the long game. They just want to show that with their introduction into live broadcasting, now they can go out and play, hey, we want this sports league. We want this sports league. We want this, right? Hey, we want the Formula One. Formula One is probably the biggest worldwide watched racing league, right? NASCAR is big in America, but Formula One is big everywhere, right? And if Netflix can get into Formula One and have that worldwide audience for auto racing, that's the big, maybe FIFA, maybe they could go to the World Cup or to the Olympics and say, we want to cover the Olympics. Don't go to those guys, go to Netflix, right? Boxing events, stuff like that, right? And so that is what I expect Netflix is getting out of this, is they're going to put this partnership, they put a lot of money into it, and they're going to get money out of it because in the long run, they're eventually going to get the NFL contract or an NBA contract or some big sports league contract to stream their product, right? And so that's what I think. And WWE, I think, isn't concerned because the weekly numbers used to be 1.8 million on USA, and now when they come out, it's 3.5, right? So I don't necessarily think there's I don't care about the viewership. I don't think you should care about the viewership. I think if you watch the show and you like it, continue to watch and like it. And I know the AEW hater is going to be like, well, that's what we say about AEW. But the problem is here's the problem, right? This group tends to be like, oh man, you definitely hate. I don't hate AEW. I've said this time and time and time and time again. I don't hate AEW. What I do hate, though, is the fan base who pretends that AEW is on the same level as WWE. There's a reality to this. WWE is far ahead. And you could say, oh, well, they had a 70-year advantage. No, guys. You don't get to start with that. You don't get to start with 70-year advantage when you continue with, right? Because you continually tell me AEW is good, and then I watch the product and it's not good, or there's slices that are good, but a lot of it that's not, right? You don't get to say we're the greatest product, but WWE had a 70-year advantage. No, right? And that's shifting goalposts, right? If we're in reality, WWE is the best product today. Let's just start from 2019 when AEW started. Forget the 70 years, right? Just start from 2019 when AEW started. Guys, at the beginning of that time period, I would argue that AEW was better programming than WWE, right? I would argue that. I think personally, from a program perspective, AEW, the first 3 years it was a company, 19, 20, and 21, probably had a better overall product. However, if we're looking at current day product and current day is what's being put out, WWE is miles ahead in the things that matter in this industry. Storyline, character development, and just grasping at getting the fans that you know, the casuals, the mainstream audience interested in their programming. AEW is nowhere near WWE at that. And you could say, well, they're not, that's not their intended purpose. Yeah, at the end of the day, just what I really want AEW fans to see is that your product, for the most part, isn't for me, and it's bad to me. But if you enjoy it, enjoy it. But also recognize that it is nowhere close to the WWE at all. In how people view the companies, how the mainstream views the companies. I gave five things Tony Khan could do to fix AEW last week. Go back and take a look at that. I don't hate AEW. I don't. When I critique AEW, it's typically from a business perspective and how Tony Khan runs the business. Because I'll be honest, I don't watch the show on a week-to-week basis. I don't know what happened on Dynamite this week. And so I'm not going to sit here and talk about it and critique it because I didn't watch it. But when I do tune in, I think I can reserve the right to critique it. But a lot of my critiques are from a business perspective. And from a business perspective, WWE is miles ahead at business than AEW is. Just from a business perspective. And the current ownership of WWE has only been here for like a year and a half. Right? And I don't like that 70-year when Tony Khan literally has the 49th richest person in the world, or somewhere in a top 100 richest person in the world as a father who can bankroll whatever Tony Khan wants to do with that company. At some point, you know, you're six years in now. You're 6 years in as being a company. At some point, you have to take responsibility for your actions and for what you put on TV and say, you know what, this isn't because WWE had an advantage. It's just we're kind of incompetent. We don't know what we're doing, right? And that's what it shows on the screen sometimes, that you're incompetent and you don't know what you're doing. That's not WWE's fault, but let's move on. I don't really have a lot to talk about on this episode. I'm going to be honest with you, but we're going to get to this sort of main event segment real quick. My final thoughts on Jey Uso. Or not really on Jey Uso. We're going to talk about Jey, but my final thoughts heading into the Royal Rumble tomorrow night. So the first part is Jey Uso. We have to get all, guys, casual fans, hardcore fans, just random guys who are listening to this podcast who like wrestling but don't really know where they fit in the spectrum of fandom. Everybody, look, guys, we have to get off of this Jey Uso train. We got to get off right now. I've seen this so many times, and I said on Tuesday what I think this is. What I think this is, especially within the casual community, a lot of fans don't like these longer title runs, right? So they complain with Roman having 1,000 days. They complain with Gunther having 600 days IC, right? They complain with Bianca holding the belt for a long time and Rhea holding the belt for a long time. And guys, we're in the zone with WWE where we're going to get long title runs. And I like long title runs. It establishes a person as a credible, right, when every time that Michael Cole says Gunther's been a champion for 80% of his WWE career, the point of that is to establish that this guy is dominant. And sometimes it doesn't get over because Gunther comes off a little goofy and corny sometime, and not necessarily a guy you want me to he doesn't really come off as like I fear this guy that he's going to beat my ass sometimes, right? But I think a lot of the fans, they want the quick title runs, that Jey Uso wins the title and then he drops it, and then he, right, and a lot of it is because, I'll be honest, I think a lot of casual wrestling fans like the MMA type type action where they're, you know, the real fights, they're not scripted, and titles change hands often, a lot of times in MMA, right, or boxing. You may have the title for three fights and then lose it, right? And so they want that quick title, and to me, that's not, the titles aren't important, right? Jey Uso, I believe, has ascended past needing a championship, but he's also in that level where I've seen this before. The first, thinking about this segment, the first thing that came to mind was he's Dean Ambrose. Y'all remember for so long, Dean Ambrose was the guy that was chasing the WWE championship. He wins Money in the Bank, right? And he was the most popular of the Shield. Hey, go back to that time. Was the most popular member of the Shield, right? The Shield broke up. And then when you had the three broken up, Dean Ambrose was still the most popular. Go back to that period of time. I remember it vividly, 2016, right? I remember it vividly because I wanted Dean Ambrose to be champion. The story that they were leading us to was Dean Ambrose needed to be champion. I wanted it. The crowd wanted it. He was the most popular of the three members, even when they were separated. And then he cashes in. He gets the WWE championship. Everyone is excited for that night. And then he gets this title run. And it's boring. And there's no excitement. Because Dean Ambrose as a character, is, in my opinion, was only exciting when he was chasing championships, when he was chasing a title, and he was on the offensive, on and the promos and stuff, when he was chasing, he was good, but he got the title, and no one really cared about him anymore, and I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what's going to happen if you gave Jey Uso the title. I understand the optics. I understand business, that he is the most popular wrestler in the company right now. He has the best entrance. He has the most crowd reaction. He appeals to the kids. But if you give him that championship, I promise you, people will lose interest in him very quickly, right? We saw it even with like LA Knight, right? Like this reminds me of another LA Knight moment, right? Jey Uso reminds me a lot of LA Knight. And I was very critical of people who said LA Knight needs to be champion. Why? Because I understood what LA Knight was. He has the promo ability and the crowd reaction, and he has the crowd in his hands. But when he got him into the ring, he was pretty mid. He had a very mid moveset. Jey Uso's the same way, very, very, and the moveset isn't necessarily all that important, but I understand how wrestling fans think, right? They love LA Knight when he's chasing something. But when LA Knight got that US championship, quickly did people stop caring about him, to the point now that like if he doesn't show up on a card, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, I forget he exists, right? And so my fear is that Jey Uso, when, you know, if he gets this moment. Now, by the way, Jey Uso, if he does get the Gunther match, won't be winning Royal Rumble. I don't believe that's going to be the case. And so I think we need to get off of this idea that he wins Royal Rumble, but I also think we need to get off of this case that he's fighting Gunther and Mania. I'm not on that train. And I think we as a community need to slowly find a path. If you're on the train, slowly find an exit path to get off the train, because it's not the best move right now. He needs to, he's not, I don't think he has the ability to be world champion. He doesn't scream world champion to me. And when I look at Jey Uso, I don't see Roman Reigns. I just don't. I don't see The Rock. I don't see John Cena. I see Jey Uso, and Jey Uso has limits, right? Jey Uso doesn't have the ability, to me, to represent WWE the way that a Roman Reigns can or that The Rock can, right? And so, you know, I'm just telling you, I think we've seen this enough in recent WWE history that Jey Uso could just quickly be, like, you know, popular for a year or two, and then eventually people are going to get tired of it. And or you give him the belt and people are going to get tired of this title run and they're going to want him the belt. Like, they did the same thing to quite literally Cody. They wanted Cody to be champion. He loses at 39. They wanted Cody to be champion. He wins it at 40. And within a year, people are like, the belt needs to be off of him. He has the crowd reaction. He has a solid in-ring ability, but not the best moveset. Right? Same thing with Uso, right? And so Jey Uso is good. He's very good at what he does. He's very good at drawing a crowd reaction, and he's very popular. That's great. That doesn't make him a good champion. And so I'm telling you, we need to get off of this run of Jey Uso. We got to get off the train right now. Just get off of it, right? And if you have to jump off of it, jump off of it. You know, I feel like I tend to recognize, right? I told you guys to get off the Wyatt Six train while everyone was boarding on the train, right? They debuted, and I was standing at the loading dock. Everyone was getting on the Wyatt Six train, and I was shouting, "Don't get on! It's not going to work!" And while I was shouting that, people who were getting on the train or who were on the train pulled the windows down and called me crazy. But then y'all took off the station. And then four stations later, y'all get off. People were starting to get off the train, right? I'm telling you, just right now, this isn't going to end good if we make Jey Uso champion. People are going to get off the train quickly when they realize that there's only so much that Jey Uso can do to tell decent enough stories, right? Because my question is always, what is next? With Gunther, right, the way I've booked it, right, the way that I've sort of fantasy booked it in my mind with him facing Cena at Rumble, Cena can win, and we have that what is next moment that I've already gone through, right? Cena can, you know, do these open challenges and, you know, you can have him just open challenge his way to SummerSlam, and he has another one at SummerSlam. In my fantasy mind, Brock Lesnar is the guy, but it could just be, you know, some other random guy like Bron Breakker who answers it, right? Or somebody that's new, or Trick Williams, something like that, right? Whoever they want to put over, right, at SummerSlam, right? But I see a world where John Cena versus Gunther makes the most sense, right? And I know Logan Paul is in the picture. I think, again, that's taking us off the... I could see, in a realm of possibility, Logan Paul in the Elimination Chamber match. But what I actually see is that Logan Paul is going to have some sort of celebrity type match. I know Wavy D's big on, like, Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. I don't know if I'm sold on that one. Part of me believes that it's going to be like some sort of YouTube streamer type match where, like, Logan and Speed team up against, like, Kai Cenat and somebody else at Mania. And it's going to be one of those big matches that they can all plug, and it's just going to be them, and Logan and them could sort of train together, and he can make sure it's safe. That's what I see with Logan Paul. If we get something like that, would be like Logan and Speed versus Kai Cenat and some other streamer like that, right? And so, but yeah, we definitely have to get off of the Jey Uso train. Just get off of it. I don't necessarily think there's a reason to even be on it. I know people want it to happen. I'm just telling you. The rain will not be good. Right? All right. So that's that thought right there. Right? So we're going to go into our react to that segment. And then when I'm done with that, I promised you a treat. You'll get that treat. And then and then that's the show. Right? So let's go to react to that. So there wasn't anything necessarily that I found a lot on social media that was super, you know, I want to react to this. But I found this like Monday or Tuesday. Just scrolling on Twitter. And I'm trying to pull up the tweet real quick. Okay, so I didn't see the tweet itself because I wasn't following this particular individual. But one of the guys accounts that, you know, I follow, Jobber, I post a lot of his stuff on in the Discord and stuff. I don't agree with everything he says, but I agree with a lot of what he says, right? And he retweeted or quote tweeted this and said, and I agree with what he said, and then I read the tweet, right? And it's from a indie wrestler named Vicious Vicky. And I'm not going to say too much about it. I'm going to read the tweet, and I'm going to talk about it. And I'm not going to talk too much about it because I saw it, and I agree with a lot of what she said. And so we'll read the tweet, and then I'll say what I want to say. Right. So this is her tweet. Quote, "I'm closing up my OnlyFans. It has been one of the most degrading things I have ever done in my life. I feel violated constantly by what people ask for that I won't do and how people complain that I don't show enough. The money just ain't worth it anymore. I'm not making enough for this. I love modeling and being sexy and won't ever stop that. But I came into this business to be a professional wrestler, and I'd rather struggle and be broke to make it than be degraded for extra income on the journey. To the powerful women who make a killing on it, I commend you and I'm happy for you. It's just not my cup of tea anymore." And then she adds, "To add to this, when I say I'm not making enough, I mean it's not worth it at all. No price can get me to continue doing OnlyFans ever again. My goal was to use it as a side hustle to pay for wrestling, travel, and gear, etc. Because my real job pays my real life bills. I rather struggle then do OnlyFans ever again. My goal is to be signed or on the verge this year, and will continue to do so to get there. Thank you for everyone who supports me. You guys are literally the most loyal fans, friends, supporters I have ever seen. I'm very lucky." I'm going to continue reading her thread here. "I hated for the longest time that it was associated with bad things because I was just doing what other wrestling chicks were doing, modeling and merch giveaways. And I didn't realize what people wanted or asked for would turn into what it did. I'm glad I'm off that site now." Right. And then any negative comments can refrain, bite your tongue, or keep scrolling. Thank you very much. So guys, remember when I did that episode on OnlyFans? Yeah. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, right? We need more women in wrestling who think this way. I commend the hell out of her for this. I support her. This tweet alone, I've never watched a match, I believe, with her in it. This alone made me a fan to the point that I, you know, took it upon myself to try to maybe make some content off of this in terms of, hey, I don't want to talk about this and tell my audience what I think I want to talk about this because I think it's very important, but I want to get your point of view. So it's not confirmed. I did email her at her booking page. We may have a special episode in the future where I interview her on this topic. And I'm going to talk a lot more than just her OnlyFans. But I really want to know her point of view on this, what her thoughts are on it, and what led her to this decision, right? Because I know what it is. First off, this is why I wanted to interview her, because I think I know what it is. I know that there's a lot of weirdos in the IWC who ask for crazy shit. But we need more people who recognize how degrading that industry actually is. And I commend her for this. My reaction to this was, you go, girl. You got a new fan in me. And if you're ever in the North Carolina indie scene before you get signed, because I do think it's going to happen this year. I do think, you know, seeing, you know, just the short time I followed her, she's been on TNA. She's actually going to be on TNA Explosion, which I think is their, like, YouTube thing, this Friday. And I think it'll be up on YouTube on Tuesday, right? Next Tuesday. So she's done some TNA stuff. All support for you, and everything you do for her, right? And if the interview happens, I'm excited for it, right? And so I don't really have much more to say other than go back and watch the episode I did on OnlyFans. I think it's, you know, and I've battled with my feelings on the site because, like she said, most people get into that website to do innocent things, just to do what Patreon, right? OnlyFans was created to be a Patreon competitor. But at some point along the lines, along the way, OnlyFans became essentially a porn site. And the things that people, when you say, oh, I have an OnlyFans, right? You immediately have expectations of what that means, right? And some of the things these people ask for are crazy. And I'm telling you, she's giving up a lot of money. She's giving up a lot of money. I promise you, I don't know the amount, nor do I care. That's her business. I'm not even going to ask her about it if we do an interview. I don't care about the money, right? But she has earning potential, right? And there's nothing wrong with, you know, selling 8x10s because that's what wrestlers use to survive, right? They sell merchandise. They sell 8x10s, especially the women. They sell their 8x10s autographed. I mean, I can go in my little side shelf right here on my desk and pull out my envelope of all the 8x10s of indie wrestlers that I have bought over the last 10 years. You know, GD Dolan. Well, I have her when she was on the indies. It's Priscilla Kelly. I have an autographed picture from her. I don't have an autograph, but JC Jane, when she was on the indie scene, I've supported her by buying some merchandise. Trying to think of who, Deonna Purrazzo, Santana Garrett, some of my favorites at the time, 2014, 2015, 2016, right, when I was big on the indie scene wrestling, and that was my favorite thing to watch. When I was a hardcore mark, right? I think you have to support independent wrestling. I do. That is the future of the business. And I'm for anyone who wants to create a fan page, right? But I agree with her. There are certain levels to where it's not even worth it anymore. So I commend her. That's my react to that. Hope in that interview it does happen at some point. And that'll be a special episode in and of itself. But with that, y'all have waited long enough. So here we go. The debut of the treat that I promised you. And I will say this. don't laugh at it. Don't laugh at it. It's Royal Rumble season. Royal Rumble's tomorrow. I figured I would make something that'll get you hyped for it. So without further ado, here you go. Young fan, play the beat.
Fight your crowd hype, we back. Cena in the ring, one last lap. Final run, final fight. 30 men deep, who claiming the night? CM Punk, he want that shine. Main event dream all in his mind. Rana's dripping, Jay eating, Roman lurking, bloodline tweaking. Will Hendrick show up, make us believe? TNA step in, shake up the scene. Legends, rookies, stars in the mix. One man wins, one moment clicks. Countdown starts, 5, 4, 3. Who's next? Who will we see? Bodies flying, shots get thrown. Mania, dream that seek its own. Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. 30 men enter, but only one stays. Mania moment, who's making the play? Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. 30 men enter, but only one stay. The mania moment, who's making the play? And the queens pull up, the fight is set. One shot, the main event, big bet. Becky been missing, crowd wants the man. If she comes back, y'all stand a chance. Charlotte still flexing her name. 16-time champ, she still running the game. Jade versus Bianca, power on power. Who takes the throne? This might be the hour. Live on the rise, Lyra take flight. Nia stay savage, just wrecking the night. Tension thick, no love in the air. One woman wins it all, that's why we here. Countdown's loud, 5, 4, 3. Who's next? Who will we see? Bodies flying, shots get thrown. Mania, dream that she gets on. Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. 30 women enter, but only one stays. The mania moment, who's making the play? Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. 30 women enter, but only one stays. The mania moment, who's making the play? Ladder high, that title shine. One man fall, one man climb. Cody been dreaming, dust in his veins. But KO a savage, he playing no game. Steel meets flesh, bruises go deep. Both of them climbing, neither can't sleep. Sami Zayn watching, what he gon' do? Help out KO or just keep it cool? If Kevin wins, do we see that split? Old friends, old scars, deep in the mix. Crowd on edge, they holding their breath. Who walks out? Who faced the test? Lights flash, final call. Gold in the sky, one must fall. Grasp the belt, time stand still. Who's the king? Yeah, who's for real? Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. Only one champ, only one king. Will Cody or KO wear gold in the ring? Who's going over? Who's taking the stage? Royal Rumble time, let's turn the page. Only one champ, only one king. Will Cody or KO wear gold in the ring?
All right. Well, thank y'all for watching this episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. I'm Way Too Deep. Until next Tuesday, I will see you all on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.